Invite others to know the one that can forgive them like he forgives us. Because the truth of the matter is that God's plan is bigger than we are. Yeah, we got struggles in our homes. We got struggles in our church. We got struggles in the U.S. of A. But God's kingdom will advance. He will build his church. The gates of hell won't stop it. It's bigger than we are, far bigger than we are. We have no idea about one of these kids that we're praying for. You've heard about Billy Graham. I talked with many of you about this at his funeral. You heard, you mean it was a group of farmers. They are praying that God would call the next evangelist. And little did they know that one of their boys would become Billy Graham. And which of these kids is going to be the next Billy Graham or the next Billy Grahamette? I mean, who cares? Who God will use to call the nations and to call your county to himself. We don't know how God will use us, but he forgives us. He forgives our children. He forgives our students. And we are part of a much bigger plan of God. And God has broken into history. He sent us into this point in history. We have these were country folks, Mary and Joseph, a carpenter, and a young girl, but with warm hearts to the Lord. And they experienced the forgiveness of Jesus, and they became part of the greater plan of God. And as we open ourselves up to him, we are part of that plan as well. They were crying for a Savior. Many think that there's references here to Psalm 130, which is a psalm of ascent. Remember, we looked at the psalms of ascent over this last year or so, psalms that God's people sang as they went up to Jerusalem to meet with the Lord. Listen to the cry of forgiveness here. He says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. I want something that I don't deserve. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there's forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. In his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen, those night watchmen, we got one or two among us, wait for the morning. Israel. God's people, put your hope in the Lord, because with the Lord there is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all of their sins. The Lord hears the cry of those who call out to him and plead for his forgiveness and for his mercy. He hears the cries of Valley View. He hears the call of God's people in the United States. He hears the cries of God's people throughout the world. People in countries where they can't name the name of Jesus publicly, where they're giving their lives, many of them, for their faith. He hears their cries. And his plan is to reach them so that others might know him too, and that the king might be praised with languages and with hearts of people from all over the world. And he will hear those prayers, and he will come in response to it. But the wonderful thing is that he also makes us part of the God with us kingdom. What's happened here is there's a prophetic loop that is completed. So if you go back to Isaiah chapter 7, there's a prophecy that is given, and one of the last kings of Israel is fighting the Lord and his ways. And Isaiah comes to him. He says, okay, buddy, this is it. A young woman's going to conceive. And when she gives birth to a son, whose name will be Again, remember, this is hundreds of years before Christ. His name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then the judgment of God will fall. And the nation will be carried off by a conquering nation of Assyria. And he didn't tell them then, but they'd go from Assyria to Babylon. They'd come home for a while, and then the Romans would take over. But look at the child's name. The name of the child that was given way back then was Emmanuel, which means that God would be with them even in a time of judgment. And he was. And he didn't forget. Because this is just amazing. Because then, hundreds of years later, when they were crying out to the Lord again, the Lord says, a young woman's going to conceive again. And this time, it's a virgin. Someone without a human, a male seed. And she's given birth to a son. And his name will be God with us. Another God with us. Another Emmanuel will be born. And this son will save his people from their sins. I am so amazed. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or what, but there's so much going on here. This is amazing what God is doing in Christ. And what the Lord is saying to Joseph is the same thing he said to God's people before he went into exile. He said, this is proof that God is with you. You're not alone in Palestine, Joseph. You are being asked to do something that sounds absolutely haywire, something that's crazy, especially in a time of foreign occupation. You're risking your life, you're risking this young woman's life. But I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. And Joseph, the carpenter, said, if God is with me, then I will obey. Then I'm going to do it, because I can do whatever God tells me to do if he is with me. I can do anything with him. I can do everything with him. And here's what happened next as that little boy grew up. And then Emmanuel came. He lived among us. He lived a perfect life. Parents didn't always know what to do with him. And then he called some disciples from the area, everyday people, people from a broad range of people. And he cared for people. He cared for people like you and me. He cared for people that had come from the plain vanilla backgrounds and people that had come from the red light district and everywhere in between. He came from people that were from his background, from the Jewish background. He cared. He reached out to people from the nations. He cared for children and for students, and he cared for senior citizens and everywhere in between. He cared for everyone. The ones that he pushed aside were those with the hard hearts. He looked for those with the warm hearts, and he loved them in the Father's name, because God had come to be with us through such a crazy and unusual act of the Spirit of God. And that same Christ is with us today. He shows us how to live as we follow him. He calls us from our everyday situations to follow him. Whether we work in government or we work in agriculture or whether we work in the community, he calls us to follow him. And then he shows us how to follow him. We learn from him as we look at his example. And then he calls us to reign with him, because he rose to the Father's right hand, and he calls us to exemplify and to give a preview of coming attractions as we live out among each other his reign, so that Christ is seen more where two or three are gathered than when it's just us alone with us and Jesus, though we spend time just with Jesus. And then his light shines as we live out his faith, him, Jesus, among us, as people see Jesus through the open doors of our lives and of our church and of the church, as we love one another in Jesus' name. Jesus is seen, and that peace that passes all understanding, that's beyond what might be humanly known, is known in Christ as we experience now some of what we will know with him forever and ever. And as we express love and justice to those around us who wouldn't experience that apart from the love of Christ. And the reason for this is that we're no longer alone. We're never alone, as our church motto says. Because Christ is with us. And as we are with each other, we are with him, and he is with us. Sky Gitani wrote a book with a very simple name, With. Seemed a little strange, but I want you to think about what he was talking about. Especially, let's think about it with Joseph. He said that the point of the Christian life is that we live life with God. Now, there's lots of other ways that, even as Christians, that we approach the Christian life. And Joseph could have done the same thing. But the Lord was calling him to live with God, and God, as God lived with him. And so one of the ways that Joseph might have gone is he might have lived life under God. And so God is saying, okay, buddy, get to work. And God's, you know, he's like a marionette, and Joseph's just doing whatever God says. He says, okay, God, and you know, it's as if the Romans, as if he was working for the Romans, like Matthew, the tax collector and the author of this book, would do. But he didn't live there. He might have lived life over God, as if he could tell God what to do. Say, God, you know, I really don't like this. Let's forget about this virgin birth thing. You know, it sounds nice, but let's figure out a way to make this work. I want you, God, you know, would you defeat the Romans and, you know, build me a nice carpenter shop, you know, maybe a store. You know, we can sell Bethlehem things early on. We can sell manger scenes and things. But I'm going to be in charge. And God, you're going to work for me. Or we could live life from God. You know, where really life is all about satisfying what we want. And Joseph's saying, you know, God, I really would like that expanded carpenter shop. I'd like some new tools. You know, I'd like us, you know, I really, you know, I've heard there's something going on, where I might have to make a trip somewhere with a pregnant lady. I'd really rather not do that. I don't want any trips to Egypt. I just want to set up here in Nazareth. Forget about Bethlehem. I really want things to be about me. But he didn't go there either. Or he could have lived life for God. He said, you know, God, I'm going to do all this for you. I don't care what it takes. I'm going out, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to marry the girl. And I'm going to be the hero, and we're going to charge ahead, and we'll defeat the Romans together. But Joseph said, okay, Lord, I'm going to live life with you, and you with me. And so Joseph started this journey that the Lord takes us all on as his people, of living life with God. And this has really spoken to me. Some things are lining up for me as I think about this Emmanuel, God with us, and us with God. One of our guys in our movement, A.W. Tozer, wrote a famous book called The Pursuit of God. Not of building a church, not of reading the Bible, pursuing God. Or you think of one of our modern writers, John Piper, who talks, his famous deal is desiring God. And if the goal of our life is knowing God, then things are a lot different for us. And as we know God, then what we're doing is we're practicing the presence of Christ, as the old timers put it. And so that we are never alone. We're not alone because Christ is with us as we walk through life. And whatever it is that we're going through, whether we're sick or recovering from something, from surgery, or whether we're asking the Lord to rebuild our church, or whether our country is in turmoil, seems like we've raised the turmoil level over the last, I don't know how many years. Or that we just lost a job, or we're looking for a job, or we're having a hard time in school, or we're doing great in school, or whatever we're doing. If my goal in life is to know God, then the question that I'm going to have is what does it mean that God is with me in this? What does it mean that God is with us as a church? What does it mean that God is with us in our illnesses? What does it mean that God is with us in our losses? What does it mean that we are with God and that God is with us? So that as the Celtics put it, remember, he's above us. He's below us. He's aside of us. He's within us. Now, this is not pantheism where God is everywhere. No, he's separate from us, but God is with us, and we are with God. And the Christian life is about pursuing him and about living life with him and practicing his presence. And that's what's wonderful about the Advent season, is that we are seeking him and seeking to know him better and asking Emmanuel to come to us as one who has rescued us and saying, okay, Lord, won't you live with me in this? You promised that you are with me. You were with your people all of those years. And thank you that you, like you were with Adam in the garden, like you were with your people through the wilderness and then into Babylon, like you were with your people in Palestine. And then as you promised that you would send your spirit so that while your disciples would leave your presence, your physical presence for a little while, they would never be able to leave your presence. Because your spirit would always be with them wherever they were in the darkness of the night when they were all alone. You would always be with them. You would never leave them or forsake them. In the broadness of day, when things are getting crazy, you are with them. In the most wonderful times, sitting on a mountaintop and praising you for all that is around, you are with them. You never forsake them. You are always there, Emmanuel. You see, the bad news leads us to the good news. The good news of Christmas is that God entered the world to save us from our sin. And he didn't just save us from our sin. He welcomed us into his kingdom so we might know him and rule with him and reign with him today and tomorrow and forever and ever. We're going to conclude this morning with a song. written by Charles Wesley, a man who had some strong affinities with us, a man who said, it's the heart that's important. And what I'd like you to do is to, first of all, turn to Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, if we could put it on the screen. And I want you to pray this with words or in your heart to begin with. I'm going to invite the instrumentalist to play the tune, but then I want to invite you to pray these words with a friend. Or if you don't feel comfortable, maybe on your own. Or maybe if you're really brave, maybe with someone that you never met. And then we'll sing it together as our concluding prayer. So you might do something like this. You could turn it into your own words if you want. Come, long expected Jesus, born to set your people free, born to set me free, born to free us up from our fears, from our sins, release us from those things. Let us find our rest in you. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, or if you've been away from him, this is a great time to say, Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, save me from my sin. I turn from life my way. I turn to life your way, knowing that you paid the penalty for me, because I want to be part of your kingship today and forever. So, ladies, if you would please just start playing that. And then let's pray it. Pray it with a friend. Pray it on your own. Play it in your heart if you'd like. Let's make it our prayer.